Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Frank. I'm the preacher here at South Lansing Christian Church. Really glad you're here today. And I want to invite you, as we get started, to take out your phone or your tablet, your mobile device, whatever you use to stay connected. Log on to our free Wi-Fi here. And while you're there, you can download our app at the Apple iTunes Store or the Google Play Store. And you can follow along with everything that's happening here at South Lansing Christian Church. You can also access all of that through our website, seekstudyserve.org, and you can follow along with today's teaching through our YouVersion channel at Bible.com or if you have the YouVersion app. So I'm glad you're here today. We're starting Summer Strong today, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in our message here in just a few minutes. But I wanted to start by talking about tomatoes. Tomatoes. Any gardeners out there? Who has a garden? Wave your hand really high. Yeah. I don't have much of a garden now. I used to have quite a lot more when we lived in Indiana, but here we don't have too much of a garden. However, you know, if you look out in the parking lot, you'll see there are little islands of tranquility in the parking lot out there, and those little islands are cared for by members of our green team, and in fact, you can see their names. We have a little signpost in each one of those, and you can see who cares for that. In fact, a couple of those we probably could use a hand with, and you can get information about that just by calling our office. But one of those is one that I take care of back here by our staff entrance. And so I like to make that nice that every day when the staff comes into work, they get to see some flowers, and they're inspired by the beauty of God's creation, right? And so, but not only do I have flowers out there, I also have four tomato plants. Four tomato plants. Wow, big fan of tomatoes. Yeah. Four tomato plants. And I planted those basically because when Wally comes into work, he likes to eat fresh tomatoes, okay? Four tomato plants. They're all four different varieties. They're heirloom varieties. One of them is, you know, there's Big Boy and Better Boy, and then there's a grape tomatoes, the little tiny little ones, and then there's a yellow tomato plant out there. But here's the thing. You probably knew there were lots of different tomato varieties, but most people don't know that those different varieties can be categorized into two very broad categories, what are called determinates and indeterminates. Determinates and indeterminates. Determinate tomatoes are the ones that most of us get. They grow 3 to 4 feet high. You put them in those round cages, you know, that are never big enough or never quite work. You know, you put that cage in the ground and then you still have to stake it up because the tomato plant gets so big that it knocks it over. Those are determinates. I'm growing indeterminates. Indeterminates. Now, indeterminates aren't like the 4 feet variety. They grow from a central vine all the way up, and they can reach as tall as 10 feet. They go from a central vine, and you stake them up as the tomato plant grows. Why am I growing indeterminate tomato plants? Very simple. Those are the tomato plants that Don Corleone planted in The Godfather. And I think it's cool, right? And so I've got these indeterminate tomato plants. Now, one of the things you have to do with indeterminates that you don't have to do with determinate tomato plants is you have to prune them. With those vine tomato plants, as that central vine grows up, it begins to let off shoots or branches that go out at a 90-degree angle. And every so often, you have this branch coming out at a 90-degree angle, and then you'll have a sucker branch that'll kind of sneak its way in there right at a 45. You have the vine and the branch and this little sucker. And what you have to do is you have to pinch that sucker branch off, because while it looks like perfectly good, healthy growth, what it will eventually do is it will suck the nutrients that are required for a bumper crop of tomatoes away. And then you end up not having as good a yield. And, you know, the Godfather's Sicilian grandparents have known this for centuries. But for many of us, it's new information when we realize that pruning is necessary for a bumper crop. If you really want to have a good crop of something, you have to prune the plant. And the thing is, pruning is never pleasant. It's never pleasant. When I go out there and I look at my tomato plants, and maybe there's a sucker that I've missed. I haven't seen it. So it's grown actually kind of large, you know. It could be 2-3 inches long. And I realize, oh, that's a healthy plant. It's got good leaves. But I still have to prune it. It's not pleasant. And you've experienced this even if you're not a tomato person or if you don't have an apple orchard. You've experienced the unpleasantness of pruning. For example, some of you have had to prune your budget, right? You spend at Christmas time, Christmas bills come due in January, and that means it's peanut butter and jelly and ramen noodles until Easter, right? You prune your budget. Some of you have had to prune your schedule before. There are tons of activities that you can take part in, lots of things that you can enjoy doing, lots of things that you do enjoy doing, but your schedule can become so full that you lose the joy of life. And even though you've got to say no to some things that you would love to do, some things that are fun, some things that are rewarding, you prune your schedule. Some of you have had to, and some of you maybe still need to, prune your online friends list, right? There's some relationships that you have, and maybe, online, those kinds of relationships that suck the life out of you or send you down a wrong path, or somebody who's just constantly negative on social media. And so as painful as it may be, sometimes you have to prune your friend list and, click unfriend. And pruning is never pleasant. It's not. But the reality is this: if you really want to grow, if you're committed to growing, pruning is absolutely necessary. So we're beginning Summer Strong today. One of the things I love about Summer Strong is it's our effort to be intentional about growing our faith. Spiritual growth is not an option for the person who chooses to follow Jesus. Spiritual growth is an expectation. And summer's a time of expected growth. We had some badly needed rain these last couple weeks, didn't we? And have you noticed the way the crops have just shot up in the field? The corn's finally looking good now. The soybeans are beginning to fill in between the rows. My grass actually looks green again, right? Summer is a time of growth. The grass grows, the crops grow, everything grows. And so we have decided here at South Lansing Christian Church that we're going to take the 3 months of summer and we're going to be intentional about growing spiritually. And so if you haven't signed up for Summer Strong yet, I want to encourage you to do that. You can do so in the lobby at the Summer Strong booth. You can go there and you can sign up and find a training partner, someone who will help hold you accountable for growth this summer. You can find out about our Summer Strong electives, 4 classes that you can participate in that will help you grow in a specific area of your faith. You can find out the sermon series that we're going to be preaching throughout this summer, and you can pick up a copy of the book that we're going to be focusing on next month. And I just really want to encourage you to grow this summer. So here's my question. As we're talking about growing through Summer Strong, and we're talking about pruning being necessary to really grow, here's my question for you. Is it possible that sometimes God prunes you and me spiritually so that we will grow? Pruning isn't pleasant. And some of you know that the times in your life when you have grown the most, the times in your life where growth has been the most significant, spiritually at least, have taken place in times when you've experienced the most difficulty or heartache or pain. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's some kind of financial pressure brought about by a layoff or the loss of a job. Maybe your future's unclear and you're trying to figure out what's next. You've finished one part of your life, maybe graduated, now trying to figure out what's next. And in the midst of that uncertainty, you're being challenged to grow, right? Because God's growing your faith in the midst of a difficult time. Maybe it's trouble in your marriage, trouble in your relationship. Many of you know that in the most difficult times of your life, that's when you've really grown spiritually. And that's why I think we can say, yes, God sometimes uses pruning to shape us spiritually and to enable us to grow, to help you and me become more fruitful. Jesus talked about that a little bit in some of the last words that he spoke to his disciples in John chapter 15. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to John 15 or you can click there with your mobile device. It'll be on the screen behind me. In John chapter 15, Jesus is teaching his disciples And it's one of the last times that they're all together. It's the time of the Passover feast. The Passover is the most sacred assembly of the Jewish people when they celebrate that time when God brought them miraculously out of slavery from Egypt and into the promised land. And so Jesus and his 12 closest followers, his disciples, are at a dinner in an upper room. And Jesus begins to teach them. And what we're going to learn today from that sermon is the same thing I think the disciples learned, or one of the things, is this. Good fruit doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. Good fruit does not just happen on its own. It requires connection and cultivation. If you're going to be a person who bears good fruit, if you're going to be a fruitful follower of Jesus, a fruitful Christian, it doesn't just happen. It requires connection and cultivation. To put it another way, connection plus cultivation equals fruitfulness. That's the equation that God wants to apply to your life. Connection plus cultivation equals fruitfulness. So back to that upper room. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. It's the Passover feast. And a few chapters earlier in John chapter 13, we read that Jesus does something absolutely extraordinary. In John 13, John tells us that God has put all things beneath Jesus' feet. God has exalted his son Jesus Christ and named him the utmost authority. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the supreme authority. And that's why what he does next is so incredibly shocking. Jesus, who is the supreme authority in the universe, takes off his outer garment, wraps a towel around his waist, and washes his disciples' feet. That's not the act of a rabbi. That's the act of a servant. And if what Jesus does there is shocking, what he says next must have been equally shocking to his disciples. He says to them, now his closest 12 followers, spent 3 years with these men. He says to them, one of you will betray me. One of you will deny me. And all of you will scatter. Must have been an incredibly emotionally charged scene for these disciples, these men who'd followed Jesus these 3 years. Now to hear that one of them is going to betray him, one of them is going to deny him, they're all going to scatter. Jesus, who's the supreme authority, has just washed their feet. It had to have been confusing for them. And then he goes on to tell them, oh, and by the way, I'm going away. I'm going to leave you. It's hard for us to measure the impact of what those words must have been. These guys had left everything to follow Jesus. They left their home. They left their livelihood. They traveled for 3 years with Jesus. They devoted their entire lives to following this rabbi and to becoming his disciples. And now he says, I'm going to leave you. And then he tells them, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing that I'm going to leave you, because if I don't leave you, the advocate, he tells them, or we know him as the Holy Spirit will not come. If I don't leave you, the Holy Spirit will not come. And so I'm wondering if the disciples were confused. He says, I'm going to leave you, and then he says, but I'm going to come again as the Holy Spirit. We know they must have been really bothered. They must have been disturbed by everything they were hearing, because Jesus tells them in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why would he tell them, don't let your hearts be troubled, believe in the Father, believe you believe in God, believe also in me? Why would he tell them, don't be troubled, if in fact they weren't? So they must have been troubled by everything that they were seeing Jesus do, everything they were hearing him say in this upper room. And so they finish this meal, they finish this Passover meal, and Judas skulks away to go and betray Jesus, 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus says, come now, let us leave. And so they head out towards a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is going to pray to his Father the night of his betrayal. We're not quite clear, or at least I'm not quite clear. I mean, the next words in John chapter 15, did Jesus speak those while still in the upper room? Did he speak them on the way to the garden? But Jesus teaches his disciples something in John chapter 15 that I think is significant as he continues talking with and praying for his disciples. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. There's significance in Jesus' words. The vine, the idea of the vine, was significant to the Jewish people. The Psalms and the prophets all referred to the nation of Israel as the vine. The vine was actually depicted on some of the coins that the Jews minted. Were you able to go to the ancient temple, you would see there, located above the holy place, a giant vine with clusters of grapes hanging from it. In fact, wealthy people, one of their greatest honors was to purchase or to provide money so that a new grape, a single grape, or even a cluster of grapes could be fashioned and hung on that vine there at the gate of the holy place. And so I wondered, did Jesus take his disciples, you know, to the temple or past the holy? Probably not. I mean, the text doesn't say that. But I wonder, did Jesus, on his way to Gethsemane, pass by a vineyard because it was the spring of the year and this is when vines were pruned? Did Jesus, as he's teaching them here in John chapter 15, did he walk past a vineyard when he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener? That word gardener, by the way, some of your translations will say vine dresser, or, you know, the modern word is vintner. This is the man who goes out and prunes the vines, right? Jesus says, I'm the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Jesus is essentially saying here, when he says, I am the true vine, what he is saying is Israel is not. In fact, when you look at the Old Testament, every time the Psalms and the prophets refer to Israel as the vine, it's always done so in the negative. Jeremiah says that Israel was a wild and corrupt vine. Isaiah said that Israel was a vine that yielded only bad grapes. So Jesus says, I'm the true vine, Israel's not. And then he says, my Father, the gardener, cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, God is doing something significant in his kingdom. Israel is no longer the true vine. He says, I am the true vine. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus says, my Father, the vintner, the vine dresser, the gardener, does two things. First, he cuts off or he destroys every branch that bears no fruit. A branch that bears no fruit is dead. And Jesus says, God cleanses his vine of all dead wood. A couple years ago, I forgot to remove it. Well, not forgot. Back up. How many of you have peonies? You have peonies at your house? Any peony people? The peony is the state flower of Indiana. So I've always loved peonies. And whenever we've moved, we've always tried to bring something from the house where we lived. So I have hostas now that used to be in Grand Ledge. And I have a peony that used to be in my mother-in-law's yard. And before it was in her yard, it was in her mother's yard. And now it's in my yard, right? So I love peonies. The thing about peonies is they really require a lot of care. I mean, if you just let your peony grow, it's going to flop over and the flowers are going to, you know what I'm talking about? You're going to run over the lawnmower and you're going to spew that stuff all over your lawn, right? Well, in the fall, you have to remove the dead foliage from your peony. And I didn't do that a couple falls ago. And I discovered that because I did not do that, fungus was able to set in the spring. And the entire year, I had these shrinkled, brown, nasty-looking leaves on my peony bush. You have to remove the dead foliage if you want your peony to look good the next year. And a good vine dresser knows that you have to remove the old dead wood from the vine. And if you don't, you create the perfect environment for fungus and disease to infect the vine's new growth. Jesus says that God cuts off the dead branches. In this context, Jesus is basically saying to his disciples, if you're dead, you bear no fruit. If you bear no fruit, you get cut off and are destroyed. That isn't all that Jesus says the Father does. He says the Father cuts off the dead wood, but then he goes on to say he prunes the good wood. That word for prunes, the original Greek word there, can also be translated as cleanses. Jesus says he cleanses or he prunes the good wood so that the vine can bear even more fruit. And one of the things I've learned, in fact, I was at a wedding a couple weeks ago and I sat with Tim. Tim is a friend of mine and lives in Indiana. He cares for 5,000 grapevines at a vineyard there in northern Indiana. And it's his full-time job. That's all he does is prune vines and care for them. And we talked about that. And one of the things he told me is that to be a vine dresser, to be a vintner, requires courage. Because you'll come along and you'll look at the vine and there's a lot of good growth there, good healthy growth. And it takes courage to say, that vine's really good. That's really good healthy growth. I think I'll cut it off. Right? And so what the vintner does is he comes along and there may be a cane coming up from the vine that has 4 or 5 or 6 buds. And normally every bud becomes a cluster of grapes. And he'll cut that off. He'll prune that so that there is only 2 or at most 3 buds. It takes courage to cut off the good wood. And Jesus says that's what God does. God cuts off the dead wood, he destroys the dead wood, but he also prunes the good wood. Why? So that his vineyard will be more fruitful. Jesus says that God wants to prune you and I, his followers, so that we can have or live a more fruitful Christian life. And pruning is never pleasant. Jesus goes on to say, you are already clean because of the word I spoke to you. Remember I said that word prune can be translated as cleansed. Jesus tells his disciples, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's two things Jesus is saying here in these couple of verses. The first thing he said is, hey, you're clean because of the word that I've spoken in you. And listen, brothers, sisters, if you want to be a fruitful follower of Jesus, one of the things you have got to do is you've got to continually be allowing God's word to cleanse you. Scripture, God's word, has a cleansing effect in our lives. Jesus had invested 3 years in his disciples, and he'd spoken God's word to them time and time again, and his word began to change them just the same way that it changes you and me. And so if you want to be a fruitful follower of Jesus, you have to allow his word, his scripture, to prune you, to cleanse you. I'll give you an example. Are you struggling with insecurity? Are you not sure about where you stand with Jesus? His word says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. You're struggling with insecurity, allow God's word to cleanse you. Allow the truth of that verse to seep into your pores. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you plagued by fears? Are you someone who's fearful a lot? Fear plays a big part in your life? Then you allow God's word to cleanse you. Where Peter says you can cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And so one of the ways God prunes us is by you reading Scripture and spending time in Scripture and meditating on God's Word and allowing God's Word to cleanse or to prune you. And as you do that, you're washed and you're cleansed. The disciples were. They'd spent all this time with Jesus, hearing him speak the truth of God's Word, and they'd been cleansed, they'd been pruned. You and I can be too. And then in the next verse, Jesus says, right, allow God's Word to cleanse you. And then he says, remain in me. Remain in me. Something like 11 times here in the first several verses of John 15, we see those words, remain in me. When you remain in Jesus, you bear fruit. If you want to buy fruit at Meijer, What section of the store do you go to? Produce. We call fruit produce. And I think that's one of the subtle traps that we fall into as Christ followers. Because when we think about bearing fruit, we automatically think produce. We think produce. We think production. We think I have to bear fruit. Jesus says that the Father cuts off every branch that's not fruitful, therefore I want to be fruitful. I don't want to be cut off, therefore I must bear fruit. I have to produce. I have to produce fruit. There's something subtly twisted about that. Because Jesus isn't talking about you producing fruit. He's talking about you being fruitful. Producing fruit has to do with what you do. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about who you're called to be. You're called to be fruitful. You're called to be fruitful in your marriage. You're called to be fruitful in your parenting. You're called to be fruitful at work. You're called to be fruitful in your school. You're called to be fruitful in your neighborhood. Too many people in this world try to do that by trying to be more fruitful, trying to produce more fruit. And then they get frustrated when they're not. The key here is not in trying. The key to being fruitful is what Jesus says, remain in me. And we're going to talk more about that in the next couple of weeks. How do we remain in Jesus? Here's what I want you to grab a hold of today. God's part in this equation is the pruning. God does the pruning. That's God's job. It's God's job to do the cultivation. Remember we said cultivation plus connection equals fruitfulness. God's job is the cultivation. He will cultivate you. He will prune you. He will shape you into who he's called you to be as you spend time in his word. As you spend time meditating on his word, as you spend time with him. God does the cultivation. That's his job. Your job, my job, is the connection. It's our job to stay connected. So my question is, how will you stay connected with the Father this week? What does that look like for you? Some of you are so busy, you're chasing your tail, you meet yourself coming and going, you're so busy that you don't have time to stay connected with the Father. And if you don't stay connected, if you don't remain connected, if you're a branch that doesn't remain connected to the vine, you're not going to experience a fruitful life. How are you going to stay connected this week? I'll be honest with you, I struggle with that, so I've got a tool I installed on my phone. It's an app. It's an app called Echo, E-C-H-O, Echo. It's just a prayer app, and I can set this thing up so that it reminds me every so often about specific things that I want to pray about. I can set this thing up so that I can remember that as I go throughout my day. It's on the odds for me. So it's 9-11-1-3-5-7, right? As I go throughout the day, it draws my attention back to the Father so that I'm staying connected to the vine. What are you going to do this week to stay connected? Some of you have given up on your quiet time. You started out in January, you had a great quiet time, but now, hey, we're all the way into June. It's time to go back to staying connected. Just stay connected. Let God do the cultivating. You stay connected. You become fruitful. I love that you're here today because that's a huge step in remaining connected. As you're here with other brothers and sisters in Christ, as you know that Jesus said, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst. So you know that he's here, and so you wanted to stay connected. You're here today. And one of the other things we do to stay connected is we share in this sacred meal together. We eat some bread. We drink some juice. We do this together. It's a we thing, not just a me thing. And so we stay connected with Jesus, remembering the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross, that his body was broken, his blood was spilled so that you could be forgiven, so that I could be forgiven. What will you do this week to stay connected. It starts right here. It starts right now. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that time and time again, we are called to reconnect with you. And when we experience times where we feel disconnected or we feel like we aren't bearing fruit, you stand ready to receive us once again, arms open, welcoming us back, calling us to yourself. And so, Lord God, I just pray right now that as we share in this time of communion, that we would reconnect with you, and that connection will grow and be strengthened throughout the week. We'll spend time in your word. We'll spend time in prayer. We'll meditate on who you are and what your word says. Father, we give you permission today to prune us, to shape us, to make us more fruitful. We recognize that that may be painful at times, may be challenging and difficult. But God, we want to be fruitful Christians. We want to live fruitful lives. And so come and prune us into who you want us to be. Bless our time of worship. Bless this sacred meal that we receive. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So as Wally leads us in a couple of songs, we just invite you to come to one of these four tables that are scattered throughout this room. I guess there's six. One of these six tables scattered throughout the room. And just spend some time with God. Spend some time reconnecting with him. Take your time. Come at the beginning, come at the middle, come at the end, whenever you're moved to do so. You can come by yourself, you can come with others. If you're unable to get up and move around, that's okay. Just kind of wave your arm. One of our ushers will find you because we want you to be able to participate in this meal too. Let's today say, this week, for these next 7 days, we will do everything in our power to stay connected as we give Jesus permission to do everything in his power to cultivate us into who he wants us to be. Let's stand together and sing.